Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Pop Culture Uncovered. You know, one of the things that come along with doing this podcast and covering, you know, the world of pop culture and entertainment and movies and comics and video games is we lose people. Nobody gets the opportunity to keep the people they love and they love seeing and performing or interacting with forever. And unfortunately, this is going to be a podcast about the passing of Carl Weathers. Born January 14th, 1948. He passed February 1st, 2024. A unique figure in pop culture, without a doubt. There are very few people who can say they were a great professional football player, turned actor, turned director, and as an actor, were capable of doing dramatic roles, action roles, comedic roles, and voice acting. Some God, my grandfather used to tell me, God blesses some people just a little bit more than others. And Carl
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And Carl Weathers is the, you know, when the Lord was sprinkling out, you know, all the good stuff, he made sure he threw a couple of extra pinches on Mr. Weathers. So I'm going to kick it to Pete. I'm just going to say really quickly, I mean, the man played college football for the San Diego State Aztecs. Then he joined the Oakland Raiders after he went undrafted in the 1970 NFL draft, played two seasons with the Raiders, and then he played a year of Canadian football. For the record, if anybody's asking, I'm pulling my facts from Wikipedia. But no, man, I mean, Pete, I know you grew up watching Carl Weathers, whether it was in, you know, the Rocky trilogy, whether it was in Predator, whether, you know, it was his other projects or maybe something syndicated on television like Street Justice. But what was your kind of experience, I guess, in your exposure to Carl Weathers growing up? And like, what did you kind of take away from what you saw of him as an actor? And I guess, and since I know you're a diehard Star Wars fan, not just as an actor, but as a director too, because he did direct some really great episodes of The Mandalorian as well.
That show continues to reveal some of, you know, some hidden gems when it comes to directors, which we will talk about some of them later, because Carl Weathers was just, there are a lot of actors who are sort of omnipresent, you know, when we were growing up, just kind of always around. And there's big names, you know, like there's always an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, always, you know, a Sylvester Stallone movie, always that kind of presence. But Carl Weathers was just kind of an even presence where when he showed up, you knew it was going to be a good time. And I feel like I didn't understand the impact of that until I was a little bit older. You know, I was young when, you know, the Rocky movies came out. I think I was a baby for, you know, the first one. And so really, you know, for I feel like our age group, that definitive moment, you know, was actually in Rocky IV with, you know, Apollo Creed dying, and then watching the movies, you know, again as an adult changes everything, because I just remember, you know, just that sort of, you know, they, you know, Rocky fought Apollo Creed, Rocky fought Apollo Creed again, then Apollo Creed turned into a good guy. And it was always like, oh, he was the bad guy turned good guy, like as a child. And then watching Rocky movies as an adult, you're like, man, this is as much the story of Apollo Creed as it is the story of Rocky. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. Rocky IV honestly could have been two movies, and the entire first movie could have ended with the fight against Ivan Drago, because that is how important Apollo Creed was as a character. And I think all of that is owed to Carl Weathers' performance in the first movie, where it was too easy to go into the second movie and have it really be centered around like his the complexity of the relationship between Rocky and Apollo, and Apollo and himself, and Apollo and his legacy. I mean, it was really his movie, and Carl Weathers is such a stellar actor that like, you can't give him a role in an action movie or give him a role, you know, in a sports movie like these, where he isn't allowed to be a 100% fully fleshed out human being, the character that he's playing, because he just had that much nuance. Like, you just kind of sympathize for his character as much as Rocky or more through the entire series, and you understand him as a man. And like, these are movies that when we remember, we'll look back on them and remember, they're silly, but somehow there's still like this, just this density of drama that radiated from Carl Weathers. He made everything that he was in fun. And I never even realized until I was, you know, older, just how funny he was, and just, and I feel like that comes from his intelligence. Like, he knew how to leverage being silly and being able to poke fun of himself and being able to do those things so that he continued to appear in like Adam Sandler movies, just became like a beloved part of those movies. And also to see him show up in Arrested Development. And for me, the pinnacle was, you know, after all that time, then to see him in Star Wars, being a character just like a lot of the characters he played, where, you know, he's not the cleanest, but he absolutely, you know, makes you trust him, makes you understand him, makes you feel like his power and strength. And I think that's the other thing, is, you know, the power and the strength that Carl Weathers had in the characters he portrayed and the man that he was. You know, it was like everything we talk about when we talk, when it comes to like positive masculinity, he was about those things. And the characters he portrayed those things. You know, he had a warmth and a strength to him that was hard for anyone else to take away. You couldn't take that, the power of being Carl Weathers, from Carl Weathers.
I want you to keep going. I just want to add on to this, because while we were talking, I was like, you know, I'm fairly familiar with Carl Weathers, you know, with the films he was in, but the TV shows. Let me just run off the names of the television shows that he'd appeared on. Good Times, The $6 Million Man, Kung Fu, Starsky and Hutch, In the Heat of the Night, The Shield, Arrested Development, ER, Psych, Chicago PD, Law and Order Special Victims Unit, Magnum PI, not the Tom Selleck one, but the new one, just because I got to clarify that, and The Mandalorian. That's just covering his television shows. So you're talking about an actor who was in some of the most iconic television shows of the 70s, as his career is kind of like, you know, starting off. He continues to do television, but in between, he's appearing in some of the most significant movies of the 1980s,
right?
As well. And oh, by the way, he caps off his career with helping Disney to resurrect Star Wars. Because don't let anybody lie to you, The Mandalorian was a Hail Mary that saved the House of Mouse in Star Wars. Because everybody after Mandalorian, everybody's like, oh yes, well, you know, we all knew it was going to be good. No. I knew I was willing to actually make the effort to try and watch The Mandalorian. When I saw, I was like, oh, Carl Weathers is the person who's in charge of the Bounty Hunters Guild?
Like, all right. I'll go with it. Yeah. It was that, that is absolutely like a tent pole of a, of an actor to be, to just to plant that and be like, you'll come see us for Carl Weathers. You know, you will. And like, yeah, I will. Absolutely. I did. And also it felt a little bit like, because of the path that he has taken and the roles that he's had, and the fun that he seems to have with all of them, when you see Greef Karga show up in The Mandalorian, you're like, oh, it's about time they put him in Star Wars. Like, why did we wait this long to get him in Star Wars? So absolutely, yeah. Agree.
So, I mean, I guess I'll say this just in terms of my perspective on Carl Weathers. Carl Weathers was somebody, he was one of the first black men I ever saw depicted in film. You know, I was born too young to have seen, you know, Bucktown and Foxy Brown and Coffee. You know, I was a kid of the early 80s. And so seeing him in Rocky II, and really, I think Rocky III was probably really the first time I had a chance to see him. Was like, wow, this guy is amazing. But I will tell you, I will remember for the rest of my life, my father pulled me out of elementary school to see Action Jackson in 1988 when it was released, because my father wanted me to see a black man in a starring role in a major motion picture. And while that might be something that's fairly, that's, you know, it occurs much more often now, there were years when I was a kid and there was no movie where there was a prominent black man or black woman in a leading role. This was a big, it made a huge indelible impression upon me. And I think the thing too is funny, looking at that character, it was the fact that how smart he was. He was a lawyer who became a cop. And it was it was always clear throughout the movie that Jackson was basically too smart for his own good. Like, there was nobody had the audacity to say that Jackson was a dumb man. It was Oh, Jackson in his righteousness wanted to put Peter Delaplane, in jail. By the way, a very young Sharon Stone in Action Jackson. But no, just so just I mean, I think back to watching him in Predator and was like, Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of towered over everybody else in any movie he was ever in. I mean, I don't want to cast any aspersions on anybody, but it seemed like he was always the Terminator and the other actor was always Kyle Reese. It was always like a huge, massive mismatch, no matter what happened, whether he was playing Conan or anything else. Predator and that iconic, handshake slash, test of strength. That's the first time I've ever seen another actor who's as big as him and doesn't have to front or pretend. And all of a sudden, it was like, this is like, it's completely believable that Arnold Schwarzenegger, like that Dutch would be friends with Dylan. Like, it makes perfect sense. And again, I was teasing you before we started recording, but it was like Carl Weathers in Predator was our Denzel Washington in Training Day before Training Day, because he had literally already built up so much goodwill with Apollo and everything else that you really couldn't envision him as being like shiesty. And so when that moment's revealed, you're like, oh, Carl Weathers is not the good guy. And then when he's like, oh, I'm gonna go take care of the predator, y'all get to the rescue chopper, I was like, he's gonna die, but he's gonna die as a good guy, and that's good enough. If he had died as a scumbag, I couldn't have accepted it, but he died as a good guy. Now I'm looking at Arnold like, they killed Dylan, you better take care of that. Like, I hey, chop chop. So no, man. I mean, whether it was that, whether it was me watching him on Street Justice, which I'm sure the vast majority of our listeners never saw that show. It was in syndication from 91 to 93. It only had 2 seasons, but again, it was a television show starring a black man in an action role. Things did not were not like that often during that time period. The running joke was all the black, characters all have some fundamental flaws. Like Black Vulcan, what's his weakness? Electricity. Black Lightning, what's his weakness? I mean, what's his weakness? Water. This was always like the most predictable. So it was like to have an intelligent, articulate, black male character with physicality and strength, and to do all that, and then to have an air of integrity that kind of breathed through his characters. It's like some people just can't help but be themselves. And they kind of bleed. They who they are as a human being bleeds into kind of every role, right? It's like Helen Mirren. You always get like Helen Mirren is interesting as hell and funny, and you can kind of see it because it bleeds into every role she does. Carl Weathers was very much kind of the same way, and so I just take my hat off to him, and I'm glad that he got some of his roses before he passed, as we really got a chance to see him make another transition, having gone from playing football to becoming an actor to then being able to do comedy and doing voice acting, and then we had a chance to see him as a director. I'm glad that he had that opportunity, because I mean, let's be honest, Carl Weathers is doing this during a time period that is still relatively hostile to black actors. Black actors are not considered for a large number of roles, and it says something to me that when he passed, it seemed like everybody he had ever done anything with, they were all hurt. Like it made me sit back for a second when I saw Adam Sandler, and Adam Sandler was like, yo, I'm hurt. Like, he meant a lot. Like, his presence on Happy Gilmore, it meant everything. I mean, I look, it meant enough. He brought him back for Little Nicky. So no, I'll kick it back to you, but I feel like words fail to describe the impact that Carl Weathers had. I feel like he is a criminally underappreciated talent, which is something that I feel like is going to become increasingly clear as the years go by, because it's going to be rare we see anybody with that type of skill set and that type of longevity, who was never attached to any scandal or any drama. Just pure talent, pure decency, and with a sense of humor and a sense of style, with some big ass biceps. All the way through. So I mean, what else can you say about somebody who can go from, Magnum Force with Clint Eastwood in 73 to doing Friday Foster in Bucktown, to then jump to Rocky, to have a small role in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, do Force 10 from Navarone, do all of that, But this is still the same human being who could do Happy Gilmore, Little Nicky, Balto 3, The Wings of Change, Sheriff Tom versus the Zombies, and Toy Story 4. Most of us are very fortunate if we're good at one or two things in life. Carl Weathers is the type of person who reminds you that, you know what, God really does give some people a little extra, and we all benefit from the extra that they're given.
All of those roles, and there's still it feels like there's still such a small and limited number of times that we got to see him. And you're right. Like, he was in his prime during a period where, you know, these types of roles, the roles of the men he played opposite, you know, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, these roles weren't available for a black actor. But the roles that he did receive, you know, the movies that he made, while they were, you know, fewer, you just remember him. Like, he couldn't help but stand out. Like I said, I'm positive it's solely because of Carl Weathers that character stuck around for so many sequels in Rocky. And honestly, I, you know, wish we had gotten more of him. But everything he did, he just stood out because of his intelligence, because of his warmth, because of his charisma. That was just second to none, really. And it felt so effortless that I'm at least glad that, you know, the things that we got to see him in were just unquestionably beloved, and that I hope is something that he knew and understood all the way through his life, was just how much he meant to so many people.
Yeah, no, I agree. And definitely our condolences go to his family. He survived by two sons. So, you know, it's funny. These are always the things that make you think. My dad, 78, Mr. Weathers died at 76. And so my first thoughts were of his sons, and just nobody's ever really ready to lose their dad. And so just, you know, our condolences to his family. I guess my closing thought is, some people live a life and some people live life well. And I think Carl Weathers is someone who lived life well. I mean, I can tell you as now not a young black man, but when I was a young black man, I benefited a lot from Carl Weathers and how he carried himself and how he presented himself. Not to mention the fact that he's going to go down in history as the only black man who rocked just a mustache and was still somehow cooler than 99.9% of the other brothers. Just with, you know, just, I'm like, he's got a Caesar with a mustache. It's not a thin mustache. It's a thick mustache.
No.
It's a mustache.
That's a push broom.
I mean, that was a mustache that you comb. Like, it won't no bush. Literally, it was not a bush league mustache. It was a man's mustache. So no, but I mean, all jokes aside, we never get enough time with anybody, right? I was really looking forward to seeing what else he was going to direct. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I had no clue that that man was 76 years old, because in my brain, when I looked at him, I was like, late 50s, early 60s.
Right.
Right. So like the thought,
but
like,
that dude's been 50 for 40 years.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just never, I guess I didn't think we would lose him this soon. And then you realize that he said he was 76 and we had an opportunity to have him for 76 years. So rest in peace to Carl Weathers. You know, he left us in February 1st, 2024. You know, definitely rest in power. And, you know, I don't know, man. It's all I can say is, when you're a kid, you have very few heroes. Carl Weathers was a hero for me. I was being bullied as a kid when Action Jackson came out. And I will tell you that when I went back to elementary school the next day, after my dad had pulled me out, I know I was walking with my shoulders a little bit higher and my head back a little bit further. And those are the things that I think pop culture can, the images that we use to portray people matter. And Carl Weathers was a source of positivity and strength and courage. Like, I loved Apollo Creed for the fact that Apollo grew. Apollo wasn't the same person in Rocky IV that he was in the first movie. I loved the fact that Carl Weathers left such a stamp that you can do a Creed, because everybody is like, well, what would Apollo's son be like? And
the truth.
Right. Yeah. And it's literally Michael B. Jordan's best moment to me in that movie was when he kind of channeled, you know, Carl Weathers, you know, Apollo Creed. And he was like, you know, don't stop the fight. I gotta prove it. Prove what? I gotta prove I'm not a mistake. And I was like, yeah, I can draw a straight line from Carl Weathers to that moment. And I'm like, that is exactly what Apollo Creed's son would say. And you know, I've got something to prove. And I think that was one of the things that I loved most about it. Like, he always played characters, at least, you know, the stuff that I saw, played characters who weren't afraid to be themselves and chase their dreams. And that mattered a lot to me. So wherever you are, Mr. Weathers, I owe you a genuine thank you. You made a real difference in my life, and I appreciate you. Well, sadly, that brings us to the end of this episode of Pop Culture Uncovered. I would definitely encourage you to go check out Mr. Weathers' filmography. I know personally, literally, when I get off this podcast, I just bought Action Jackson because I realized I didn't have a copy of it. So I just bought it. So I'm going to literally make my next thing to sit down and watch it. And then maybe in a day or two, I'll watch Predator. But in the meantime, you should definitely check us out on popcultureuncovered.com, where, you know, we do not strive to be the fastest, but we do strive to be the best. We've got some amazing articles written by a really talented team. So check that out. Check out our Patreon, of course, where you can listen to this podcast wherever you listen to good podcasts. Always ask you to leave a like and review. We've been doing this podcast for 14 years. We're very proud of it. We feel like we are some of the best folks in the industry with some of the best content and the best conversations. So if pop culture is something that you're interested in, you have found yourself in the right place. As they would say in the Black church, if you ever get tired of listening, you can always join us. Join us on Patreon and join us as a subscriber. But for Pete, this is Armand. We'll see you soon. And then Sylvester Stallone's words to Carl Weathers after he passed, Apollo, keep punching.